Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast Information Framework, the key to reducing time, cost, and risk associated with today's business transformation. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speakers Nia LeBlanc and David Norris from IBM Rational and John Riley from the TM Forum. Today's schedule consists of about 50 minutes of presentation material, leaving 10 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some features of your viewing console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this eCast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate in today's event. You simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit questions at any time during the presentations. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material in question and it's fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A, and if you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you could submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you during the eCast. Nia LeBlanc is a member of the product management design team in IBM Rational. As the worldwide offering manager, Nia plays a key role in defining and driving strategic vision and roadmap for offerings for telcos. Nia is intimately familiar with the business issues involved in managing large project-centered organizations. He also has a history in business planning, project and portfolio management, development, as well as implementation and deployment of packaged applications. John Riley is a subject matter expert, master trainer, and distinguished fellow of TM Forum, a global industry association focused on enabling service provider agility and innovation. He is responsible for providing information framework model subject matter knowledge in support of TM Forum programs and projects. He's also the author and co-author of a number of books, including Using the SID for Application Integration and ETOM, a Business Process Framework Implementer's Guide. He also leads NGOSS Associates, a consulting practice focused on offering framework implementation guidance for TM Forum members. David Norris is a senior IT architect with IBM Software Group. David provides consulting and mentoring to corporate clients throughout Asia Pacific. David has presented many software engineering and tool training courses, conferences, and workshops. He's been extensively involved in a wide range of consulting engagements. He sits on the core teams of several Rational's communities of practice and is a member of IBM ANZ Technical Experts Council. He's also authored a number of articles across the whole software development lifecycle and is a contributing author of several books related to component-based software engineering, UML, and software architecture. Nia will be leading off the presentation material today. Nia, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Great. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the second part of the two-part series on transforming operations. You may recall, actually, that we did the first webcast back in December where we looked at the governance of outsourcing. Today we'll be looking at how industry frameworks, and more specifically TM Forum's information framework, are key to reducing time, cost, and risk associated to or with today's business transformation initiatives. And we are so honored to have John Riley from TM Forum as one of our guest speakers. You know, we all know that the telecommunication industry has experienced, you know, more change in the last decade than at any other point in history. You know, if we look back in 1999, only about 15% of the world population had access to a telephone. You know, fast forward to 2009, and nearly 70% actually had mobile phones, right? The demand for infotainment and over-the-top services are putting huge pressure on bandwidth that's forcing communication service providers to adapt to address these demands. You know, and it's not just the public. Enterprises have become a lot more reliant of telecommunications as well, right? Between so that, you know, employees can communicate, machine to machine can communicate, as well as between sites. And, you know, all of these changes really have, or over the past 10, 15 years, have really forced telecom providers to look at ways to grow and gain some of that competitive advantage. And, you know, some of those advantages include developing operations outside of their home countries, which puts a strain on scalability and infrastructure. You know, they look to deliver new and innovative services. And of course, they want to reduce outages because we know how an outage can impact a reputation. And all, doing all of this while facing some of the internal pressures of increased efficiency with, you know, quicker and more frequent releases. You know, gone are the times where a release could take, you know, 6, 12, 18 months. They want them, your customers, want them today, and, you know, you don't want to wait that long. And, of course, with decreased cost, which often equates to fewer resources. So, you know, companies need to be innovative and agile in order to meet the changing customer requirements, in order to develop and deliver new service offerings, and, of course, to respond to the market consolidation and the disruptive competition. So I just wanted to set a little bit of context, and actually with that, I'd like to turn it over to John, who will walk you through TM Forum's information framework. John, it's all yours.
Thanks, Neil. Good day to everyone. I was already introduced, so I'll go on to the next slide here. Is, first of all, some of you may not be that familiar with the TM Forum's information framework, which is also known as the SID or SID, Shared Information and Data Model. So before we get into its uses, how IBM has used it, IBM's role in its development, we'll take a few minutes to introduce you to the SID. There are two perspectives of the SID. One is an information model, the other is a data model, which is based on the information model. Therefore, the SID can be used to harmonize both information and data models from other sources. It wasn't developed from scratch. Many sources that you see here were used in its development. The reasons for having an information model are also relevant from a shared information architecture perspective. The SID is one of the few industry models that covers the breadth of an entire enterprise. So why have a standard model? As shown here, the SID provides a standard way to structure, define, and implement an information model, as well as providing a consistent common terminology for the things or entities of interest to an enterprise. It enables reuse via the separation of technology-neutral information model from a technology-specific or data model. More than one data model can be generated or developed from a single base or information model. The model includes all concepts typical of an object-oriented model, with the exception of behavior or how things work. We actually have other frameworks within a group of frameworks, one of which is a SID, such as a framework called the Integration Framework, that also represents or provides the behavior associated with the entities defined in the SID. And just a final note here is that two areas that are of much interest to most users of the SID are called product and service, and they are now an ITUT standard as of actually 6 years ago, 2008. So let's take a look at the framework itself. Shown here is what's referred to as the level one of the information framework. It's a domain-based structure composed of groups of entities called aggregate business entities, or ABEs, within each domain. Each ABE is composed of a number of business entities, which represents something of interest to the business. It may be tangible things, such as customers, active things, such as customer orders, or conceptual things, such as a customer account. Business entities are characterized by attributes and participate in relationships or associations with other business entities, and they typically move through a well-defined life cycle. An aggregate business entity is a well-defined set of information that characterizes a highly cohesive set of entities that are loosely coupled with other entities in other ABEs. And a domain is a collection of aggregate business entities associated with a specific management area, such as customer, resource, which includes network applications and computing, or market and sales. The domains that make up the SID framework are consistent with key concepts that we have in other frameworks. Now, down at the bottom, you might see what seems to be strange, something called a common business entity domain. This domain contains ABEs that could be placed in two or more domains. And one key point about the SID is that it is a non-redundant decomposition of information. This domain also holds generalized ABEs such as usage and performance. Many ABEs such as product, service, and resource usage have many entities in common. And rather than model these common entities redundantly in each ABE, they are modeled within a generalized ABE such as usage. With the other entities in the ABEs inheriting from it. For instance, product usage would inherit a lot of the entities and associations attributes that are contained within the generalized usage ABE. And also, this isn't the stopping point of the decomposition or the SID information model itself. In fact, many of these level one ABEs decompose further. Now next, how does the information framework or the SID help achieve an enterprise goals? The first goal shown here, reducing time to market, is actually related to the fourth goal, facilitating the introduction of new technologies and services that utilize the technologies. The inherent extensibility of the SID enables new technologies to be introduced without making major changes to the SID framework or its underlying models. Changes to information architectures that do not use the SID typically require changes to the information architecture when introducing new technologies and the product offerings made available by them. Implementing the SID also achieves the second goal, reducing the cost to integrate processes and applications. And later you'll see or hear from David about this in a case study. The SID facilitates this in a number of ways. First, the use of the SID as part of an integration framework provides a standard information vocabulary framework and model that reduces the time to translate vocabulary. Second, the SID can be employed as an operational data store. An operational data store is a database designed to federate data from multiple sources to facilitate operations, analysis, and reporting. And because the data originates from multiple sources, the integration often involves cleaning, redundancy resolution, and business rule enforcement. Using the SID also achieves the third goal, support implementation of multiple application technologies. This goal is realized by the separation of the SID information model from the SID-based data models. The separation allows multiple data models to be developed and generated from a single information model. For example, a database model can be developed or generated based on a single information model, and there's many flavors of database models, or the development and generation of Java interface classes or web services. And often the SID is thought to be useful only in the support of new development. While this is the case and can save quite a lot of time as opposed from starting from scratch, it can be used to enhance or extend existing models and applications, such as mapping existing interfaces or APIs to the applicable parts of the SID model. And as a byproduct of achieving the other goals, management time and cost is reduced The time and cost associated with the introduction of new offerings and technologies is reduced because of the impact of these changes is minimized. And the time and cost to integrate applications is reduced by having a standard information vocabulary framework and models. And the time and cost to develop models, data models, is reduced by employing a single information model upon which the data models are based. And now what I'd like to do is talk about IBM's role in the development of the SID. And shown here is a view of the tool we use to model and store the SID. We use IBM's Rational Software Architect, also known affectionately as RSA. And this is a view of the SID model contained within RSA. And you can see we use the domains actually as the top level organizational structure for the SID. We've used IBM Rational products from the beginning of the SID's life. We started with Rational Rows in 2001, migrated to Rational Software Modeler, or RSM, and now use Rational Software Architect, latest version 9. IBM has kindly provided licenses for each product which are or have been used by those TM Forum members who are developing enhancements and extensions to the SID. Now, not shown here, too, I might point out, are the lower levels of the model that use the framework's ABE structure to further organize it. And a bit more on our use of RSA is we often have multiple teams or projects working on various aspects of further developing or enhancing the SID. And one key RSA feature that's critical to the development of the SID is to enable multi-teamer modeling. Each team is provided their own branch from the SID trunk in which modeling is performed. And at the end of each SID release, the SID model administrator, who actually is me, uses RSA functionality to merge the branch with the trunk. The merge is a comprehensive process that begins with comparing the branch and trunk to identify changes that have been made. An online report, not shown here, displays the changes that can be reviewed, accepted, or rejected. And this feature is a huge enabler as opposed to single threading changes to the model, or often what I call passing the baton from one project to another. I talked a little bit earlier about the uses of the SID and some benefits that enterprises can achieve. Next, we'll look at a summary of a recent TM Forum adoption survey. Frameworks is a TM Forum's collection of component frameworks that include the SID, a business process framework, an application framework, and an integration framework. It describes the importance of frameworks conformance from a provider-operator perspective. It also provides a software vendor perspective, and I'll use an IBM case study here. Now, here's some excerpts from a recent TM Forum adoption survey, and I have highlighted some key points here in green bold font that shows the large number of members of the forum, and we have almost 1,000 members now and 85,000 individuals that participate and use our work. But it's key that the frameworks be used. And you can see here, in one case, that 72% of the company's mandate frameworks and many or all of their specifications, particularly when they're looking to procure an application from an outside vendor, and they want to know how closely that solution conforms, in this case, to the SIT. And here's a bit more, the IBM case study on this, and this has to do with the IBM catalog-driven order management solution. And a quote from an IBM Software Business Process Management communication publication titled Streamline Order Management with Industry Standards, -Bring New Services to Market Faster, states in recent years a significant majority of communication service providers have realized that complying with IT and industry standards does help accelerate project delivery and avoid dependency on proprietary software vendors. Authoring your business processes to comply with and take advantage of IT and telecom industry standards from the TM Forum provides agility with a vendor-agnostic approach that will help you thrive in this challenging landscape. And IBM's catalog-driven order management solution shown here allows communication service providers to efficiently manage the end-to-end order lifecycle for complex product offerings across lines of business such as wireless, cable, enterprise, and order entry channels such as web, call center, social networks, and so forth. The integration platform translates legacy interfaces to TM Forms-based contracts and uses a SID-based data model to align disparate vendor approaches. And I might point out down at the lower left of the slide, you can see that actually RSA is an integral part of this solution. And here you can see a measure of conformance of the solution to parts of the SID, in this case, the service and resource domains. And we use color coding to indicate and a score from 0 to 7 to indicate the degree of compliance. A score of 7 is the highest that can be achieved, which actually you see here in almost every case, these parts actually conform at the highest levels of conformance, and it does demonstrate IBM's commitment to align with industry standards such as the SID. Now, next I'll talk, and my final part here, I'll talk about some uses of the SID, and some I did mention earlier, just provide a bit more detail, and then that will finish up my part of the webinar. Now, here I refer to these as the SID's Baker's Dozen, or 13, typical uses of the frameworks, and you'll be glad to know I'm not going to go through all 13 here. Just thought I'd show you some of them. There are many theories about the origin of the Baker's Dozen. Mine is that the baker wanted to keep one for himself. I guess that's me. But we'll look at a sampling of these as we go on, and the sample actually does represent some of the more typical or frequent uses of the SID. First is developing an architecture model. And earlier when we talked about an enterprise goal, using the SID as a starting point for development. Here is a UML or Unified Modeling Language view of the SID ABE that focuses on offerings to the market that is used by many TM Forum members. It can be used to assist in the development of an enterprise architecture or an information model used as a reference model, or, as I mentioned, as a starting point for database or interface development. In fact, another use of the SID that we'll see later is its use in developing the interfaces that are put together by our TM Forum interface program. Another use is a starting point for database development. that I mentioned here. And here's a little bit more detail about that, just showing at the top left a UML model and then showing it transformed or initial transformation to a data model. And this shows the product offering entities that go to the initial logical data model. The logical data model can then be transformed to a physical model after making any necessary changes to it. And many tools do exist that enable the automatic generation of a starting data model from an information model. And here's one example of such a tool. IBM was kind enough to provide a short-term license for InfoSphere Data Architect that I used to develop a contribution that I made to the TM Forum and how the SID can be used to develop and generate databases. And so up on the top of the slide, you can see the UML model. This is for a customer order and how it was transformed via the interaction between Rational Software Architect and the InfoSphere Data Architect product, which then enabled the development of a physical data model from which a database definition language script can be generated. One more use here that I mentioned earlier is specifying interfaces, and this is an XML schema it was generated by an open source development tool that we've put together to generate this example and then also and all our TM Forum interfaces. This is a service problem entity and a reference or extension base to the problem entity from which it inherits within the SID model. A subset of SID aggregate business entities and entities that define the scope of the interface from an information perspective are imported into this tool from Rational Software Architect. And my last slide here, which will lead into David's case study, is using the information framework to facilitate application integration. And here it's shown the use of a mapping tool to actually map applications interfaces on the right to SID entities and attributes on the left. And there are many other tools that are available to do this. Now I'm going to turn the webinar over to David, who will share an IBM application integration case study where Rational Software Architect and the SID were employed. So over to you, David.
Thanks, John. Hello, everybody. It's early morning where I'm talking from in Melbourne, Australia. So wherever you are, I hope you are having a good day or morning or evening. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about a specific application of the SID that I was involved in over here in Australia with a large OSS project providing a network system for one of my clients. The client unfortunately cannot be named, what's interesting is that every single telecommunications provider in Australia and New Zealand that I've dealt with, and I've dealt with pretty much most of them, they are using the TM Forum models in some way, shape or form. They're all using the SID as well as some of the other models, the ETOM models and some of the other integration models that John mentioned earlier. So the specific case study that I'm talking about was an OSS program. IBM was actually selected as the lead system integrator to deliver the operations support system. And this was actually for activating and assuring and fulfilling and billing network services. So this particular client was a network service provider. They provided to other retailers and a number of retailers. So the core capabilities for this program was maintaining the client's Australian-wide network inventory, provisioning services, configuring different network components and managing any faults that may occur in the network over the time. They were responsible as the wholesaler for managing the network itself and for responding to faults and for communicating backwards and forwards between the various retailers who would maybe report a fault, and then they would have to do the diagnosis and reporting back. So the total project team was in excess of 300 people, including members from the client themselves, IBM, other system integrators, independent software vendors. And when we talk about multiple system integrators and packaged application vendors, we had people like IBM, Accenture, Alcatel-Lucent, CompTel, Oracle, BMC, SpatialNet. All of these people, if you have a look, are also members of the TM Forum and contribute to the various models. So the key thing that that was done by IBM and was used by IBM was an approach to service design in the client OSS program. And we used IBM tools and model-driven techniques to accelerate the application integration. And they were using all sorts of standards. They were using continuous engineering methods and templates. The two specific tools that got very, very heavy use were Rational Software Architect and also our Rational Team Concert for version control, project management, the actual development and build of the development tools and deployment out to the various dev and test parts of the system. We also used InfoSphere Data Architect in exactly the same way that John mentioned earlier. This was a model-driven approach. We used SOA ML inside the RSA tool, and we actually forward-engineered all of the information, and I'll show you later on, all of the things that we forward-engineered automatically from the UML model. And the key thing here was that we focused on defining the system boundaries, and we had a set of sample messages that could be used by both the wholesale part and also the retail part. So they actually had a set of test messages that retailers could use when they were building their own systems, their own BSS systems. So that was the key thing, and of course it was standards-based, and it was based on SOA ML, UML, and the TM Forums SID. So in the smarter service design approach, the key thing to that approach is we develop consistent standards across all models. The two key things that we looked at were model management right from the word go. So one of the things that I find, I work with a number of industry models, and I think the single biggest problem that I find with my clients is they find these wonderful standards and they decide to adopt them, and they grab the model and start using them in the design tool directly. They don't think about, well, what happens when the external organization gives us the next version of the model? How are we going to incorporate that? And typically what happens is that they specialize the model, and typically these models provide a really good fit. I think in the case of this client, there was nearly 90% fit directly out of the SID to what they were trying to do. But that 10% specialization is where you're going to have the unique things that are required for each client. And what they found was that unless they started model management early and put in a standard approach and a consistent approach for managing their enterprise model, that as they then got new versions from the TM Forum, or as projects realized that in fact they needed to make a specialization of the model elements that came with the SID for their specific part of the system, that they couldn't incorporate that in a consistent fashion, and the models very quickly went out of sync. And this is probably the single biggest problem that I find across any industry models, is they will do model management on an ad hoc basis, and then when a new version of the industry model comes along, they can't update that model and they can't bring that model in and realize the benefits of basing themselves on a standard without significant effort. So that's probably the one thing I would mention up front. If you're going to do this, make sure you put model management in early. The other key thing that they looked at was, if we're going to put all of this stuff in UML, what can we generate directly out of the UML? And in the end, they generated their interface specifications, their service specifications, their documentation packages, their code, and also their data. So they ended up generating an awful lot directly from the models and realized enormous goals there in standardization. So this is the client, Release 3. Now, Release 3 happened a number of years ago, so they are still doing this, in order to protect the client, I've picked a slightly older release. But the Release 3 high-level design process was based on the TM Forum SID version 9. That was brought in, set up in their model management in Rational Team Concert, and then they developed and specialised that into what they called their SIM, their Common Information Model, and that was in RSA. They then used that via the transformation wizards that they built themselves and went from the canonical model based heavily on SID to a logical services design model for each specific project, to messaging models and services design models, and then from there they used the out-of-the-box transformations to generate XSDs, WSDLs. They used the BERT report generation tools that come in Rational Software Architect as part of the Eclipse project to generate reports that were the interface specification and test specifications as documents. Remember that this was a multi-vendor approach, and so as much of this documentation was actually made available to everyone else, and in fact the model itself is shared through one of our other tools, and this has happened only recently. They are using one of our other tools, which is Rational Design Manager, to share the UML models online now, and anyone can go in and browse the models live and comment and redline and review the changes to the models live through a web interface, and then it comes up inside RSA where they can make the active changes. So basically, they were currently in Release 2 at the time that I interacted with them, and they had done things in an ad hoc fashion. They then brought in the IBM tools, and they took the existing message model and rebuilt it with a common information model based on the SID. All of the services were rebuilt using that common model and the forward generation approach. The message model and schemas were generated using a custom transform to go from the canonical model to the denormalized forms that they used across the individual messages. They then had to do some alignment and some ETL to get the Release 2 and Release 3 schemas in sync, and there was a process of migration that they had to design as they did that. Service operation interfaces were done using XML messages, once again generated directly from the models. Sample messages were generated directly from the models, and the interface functional spec generation was done directly from the models in BERT. So here's a typical example. I know that it's quite extensive, so you probably won't be able to see exactly what each thing is there, but the ones that are coloured, so the purple and brown and green, they are actually directly from packages that are directly aligned to the SID. So this is a logical design model. This was then used to directly create, through a Transform Wizard, a message model. And this is for managing service qualification. And again, the colour coding represents things that are closer or further away from the SID core elements. So the coloured elements are directly related to SID components. The uncoloured elements are infrastructure to support the actual message. And this UML that we're looking at here has appropriate stereotypes, and this would generate directly as an XSD. So if you run the out-of-the-box transforms, that would turn into the XSD schema that was used then for messages. In terms of message model design logistics, the sort of things in Release 3, now this is almost quadrupled, I believe, in the current system. So we've got 19 service packages, 14 common library packages, almost 40,000 XPath rows in sample messages, so they used XPath fairly extensively. So you can see that the stats there are fairly extensive. I think what's probably more impressive is when you actually look a little bit later on at the timings for this, the time it took to develop all of that was extremely short. It was of the order of several months, and the entire project took 12 months for release 3. So I mentioned before about the use of InfoSphere Data Architect. The key thing that they did here was they actually aligned the message model attributes to the SIM, which was the client's customized version of the SID. The attributes are owned by classes or inherited from the parent classes, and they can all be traced back, and we generated dependency maps between all of the data, the messages, and the canonical model elements. We generated that automatically, again, because all of that information was there sitting in our RSA UML model. So as we mentioned before with artifact generation, as all the information was in one place, forward engineering was the next logical step, and they ended up automating this with an ANT script, and so they ended up doing almost continuous builds directly from the model of all of their WSDLs, all of their XSDs, all of their interface functional and technical specifications, their service component specs, and also the common data model, which went into both InfoSphere Data Architect and numerous published outputs. So essentially, all of the information that every SI, every vendor, every retailer connecting to this this client's network backbone needed was actually generated automatically from those UML models. And with that, I'm going to hand over to Kurt for Q&A. Kurt, it's over to you.
Very good. Thanks, David. We are now to the Q&A portion. We've got some questions coming in, and again, we encourage that you continue to ask those questions throughout the Q&A and take advantage of the expertise we have here. First, let's get to a question for John. There's a question about the SID being tailored as per a requirement. For example, like in a capability maturity model 5 process, can reviews and things like that be incorporated into the SID, and how would that happen?
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. So, yes, I think a couple questions here. First of all, is can the SID be tailored per requirements? And one thing that that I didn't mention was why we call it a framework. It is a beginning or a way to start. It's not a fully detailed information model, which is one reason why we call it a framework. And it's meant to be extended as needed, or as the question was, as per requirement. And we do have a user set of guidelines that we publish that provides some good practice on how to extend the model. And I think maybe when I'm done here talking or addressing this question, maybe David could talk a little bit about some examples from the case study. So that's the answer to that one. And then as far as the capability maturity model, you can certainly, and I think the SID does actually help actually move companies along to higher levels of maturity, and certainly reviews that are part of the CMM level 5 can certainly be included. We don't have CMM embedded in the SID, but it can certainly be used by companies that are looking to have, in effect, in this case, the use or the repeatable use of an information model. And then, David, I didn't know whether you wanted to talk anything about, tailoring or extending. We call it extending the SID from a project perspective.
Thanks, John. I think my case study, maybe this question came in a little earlier before my case study, because as I mentioned in my case study, that is exactly what my client did. And in fact, their tailored model was called the SIM, the Common Information Model. They saw between an 80 to 90% fit with the SID as used, but there are two specific things that people tend to do. One is they extend the SID to add their own business-specific requirements, and that is fully expected, as John mentioned, and that is where good model management is a really core part of that. You can extend it, but you need to make sure that you can incorporate later versions of the SID, because you may not be the only person who is extending the SID in certain ways, and the TN Forum members take in requests, make changes. John's group may well actually produce in the next version of the SID exactly the modification that you've done. So being able to incorporate that in and remain consistent with the standard is a key thing. The other thing that typically happens is that when you're using the SID for data models or for, in particular, payloads of messages, you'll want to denormalize to an extent. You'll want to remove some attributes that aren't relevant to certain messages at certain times. And again, what you do there is you take the SID and use it as the basis for tailoring your messages and then have traceability back to the SID. So absolutely. And in fact, use of an industry model is, you know, a core process that will actually relate directly to your CMM level 5 processes in development.
David, you mentioned Eclipse when you were describing the case study. Is that can you position that with the rational tools and how you would use SID within the Eclipse environment?
Sure. So I don't know whether many people know of the IBM work with Eclipse, but IBM built Eclipse originally, incorporated numerous partners, and then released Eclipse to open source. And it's pretty much a mandate within IBM that if you are building a rich client anywhere within IBM, that it is based on Eclipse. So Rational Software Architect is an Eclipse-based product, and Core Eclipse is incorporated within that. You can use base Eclipse for doing your coding development. If you generate any code from Rational Software Architect, you could use base Eclipse to actually write that code. And it is possible that you can examine core UML with Eclipse, but RSA provides that full UML extension. I also mentioned in particular the transformation framework and wizards and the transform wizards for model-to-model transforms. That's all RSA specific. So clients tend to use Eclipse for code development, and it does have some basic capability for modeling. and you can access the individual elements within Eclipse if you open up those models. But RSA is definitely the tool for that rich environment. And I don't know of anyone who is actually doing UML modeling not in some extension of Eclipse. There are a number of open source additions. RSA has been around right from the word go. And in fact, I believe also that the OMG themselves use RSA heavily as the reference standard for importing, exporting, and defining UML itself.
Okay, and if you purchase... go ahead, John.
Sorry, I just wanted to add a bit more about model management because I think it's really important. And one of the features that I touched on in a couple slides is being able to merge models together that have been worked on by various teams. And to see actually what changes they made, because sometimes you may touch something in some other part of the model that you didn't realize you touched, and being able to see those types of things that you would then say reject or get back with that project and find out what they were doing in another part of the model is really key. And that RSA has a three-way merge, where it uses a common ancestor, the current project branch, if you will, and the current trunk to actually compare the three so that you can actually see the differences in all of them before you accept or reject any changes. That's all I had to add there.
Great. David, to follow on that question, if you get the IBM Rational tools, then do you get the information framework with it, or how do you get it?
No, so I'm going to involve John in this one too. So when you purchase the IBM Rational tools, you would buy Rational Software Architect in its various versions, and then you would go to the TN Forum and you would download the model. And John, I understand some things are available without being a member, but other things you need to be a member of the TN Forum, and maybe you can talk a bit more about that.
Yeah, that's right, David. Is to actually get the model, you do have to be a member of the TM Forum. There are certain documents that can be downloaded, not just about the SID, but any of the other work that we do. They are in PDF format, but the members are the ones that have access to it. And, you know, not to go at length about membership, but what it is, the way we have it, as I mentioned, we have about 1,000 members, is that a company would join the forum, and then everybody, in effect, that's related to, you know, being an employee or a contractor or whatever, that has a valid email address with that domain, registered domain name, does get access to everything. And that's how I mentioned we have 1,000 members, but 85,000 individuals, and those individuals are in some way related to the member companies and have access to everything.
It's probably worth mentioning that I had to actually, in the background, ask John whether or not it was restricted to members only, because IBM, of course, is a member, and I've always been able to download these things without any hassle at all. So I had to actually ask and check with John to make sure that it was not completely open, and it was. That's how easy it is once you are a member. And if you're from an organization that is already a member, you can pretty much get to those information frameworks straight away.
Interesting.
All you have to do is go to the main webpage, tmforum.org, and up in the upper right there's a register button that you can click. And you can even go and look before you – and you can actually register if you're not a not part of a member company. But your access, as I mentioned, is restricted.
Okay. All right. There's a question about service-oriented architecture, something that's being used and touted as a way to provide interoperability in a thinking of your application software as a group of loosely coupled services and be able to achieve interoperability. It seems like that has a lot of the same goals as the SID, although maybe the SID is more process-oriented. Can you, John, position the SID with service-oriented architecture? Are these competing, complementary?
Okay, Kurt, yeah, thanks. No, they are complementary, and actually the way that the SID is structured, I talked about earlier, with these very cohesive groups of entities, it does make it very service-oriented. In fact, I know some members actually use the aggregate business entities and develop what are called entity-centric services around an entire ABE. And to add a bit more, Kurt, is there's task-centric services too, and we do have a business process framework that actually at its lower levels, the detailed task-oriented processes in it are often used. And I believe there is one IBM product that actually does this, so that they actually generate the business process framework SOA services, and they in effect actually use the SID entities the way that they define the interface associated with the SOA service.
Okay, interesting. David, do you have any comment on that in terms of service-oriented architecture? Do you see that as being used in the projects or case studies that you've been involved with?
Yes, so I think, as John mentioned, I mean, the SID provides an information model that helps you standardize what you send through your services. A service-oriented architecture is a style of development. I have had clients use the SID to inform their information models for projects based on CORBA and network messaging, on MQ and message-oriented structures, and just on, in general, any standard component-based design, good component-based design. So SOA is just a style that you can use, and the SID is fantastic at helping you define, in particular, the message payloads, the request and response payloads in a service-oriented architecture. And that's where all of my clients are doing SOA for some of their applications. All of my clients are using the SID to inform the payloads, request-response payloads. And they also use the SID on non-SOA-based projects. Again, whenever there's information within the organization, whenever they want a standard representation of entities of things that they talk about within their organisation. The SID forms the core of that. It's the standard that they then refer back to each and every time to make sure that every part of the business is talking about the same thing in the same way.
So in terms of, Neil started the presentation with the pressures on communication service providers, and John, of course, went through the SID. And David, I think you were mentioning business support systems. There are operational support systems. Telecom analytics is approaching in terms of something that's on communication service providers' minds. This would involve a combination of already created standard off-the-shelf products and new development. Maybe David, you can start, and John, you can follow on with how the SID relates to existing OSS, BSS system kinds of application software. Does it already have to be built in a SID-compliant kind of way, or are there ways to integrate existing software and then add new pieces using the SID?
So that's a good question. That of course, sometimes people are buying off-the-shelf components, and in fact, one of my other clients out here in Australia, they actually use a number of parts of the TM Forum models. They use the ETOM, which is the operational model, and they use that to actually map out their businesses and look at where they are going to do bespoke development and where they're going to use off-the-shelf applications. They then look at the information that is coming out of the off-the-shelf applications, and they map that to the SID elements and down to the attribute level wherever possible, and that's when that whole idea of specialisation of the SID comes in. But they do use the SID to actually make sure that any commercial off-the-shelf systems are going to be able to be mapped to the standard information model that they are using inside their organization. John?
Yeah, thanks, David. Yeah, and earlier I talked about conformance, but one thing to add to that is that, you know, we don't expect people, you know, whether it's people internally to an organization or software vendors, to have to change their applications to, you know, mirror, if you will, the SID. Our conformance program actually, and the conformance scoring is about equivalency. So what, and I work a lot in that area, and what vendors do is they actually take their existing interfaces and actually map them back to the SID entities and attributes to show that, well, I may call something, you know, an offering, but it's actually the same thing as a product offering, and here are all the attributes. I've got a description and a name. I may call them something different, but they relate back to the equivalent SID attributes. And the reason is a lot of vendors, you know, a lot of people have the same kind of ideas that are represented in the SID. They may not have the complete enterprise-wide set, but you know, it's not that there's anything really totally unique about the SID as far as thinking about how you would actually, you know, develop, say, a customer relationship management system or whatever. Now, when people do new development, and, you know, and David talked about this too, and then they would certainly want to start with the SID as part of generating their databases or and or interfaces. And in the forum, we use the SID as a starting point for all our interface development that's part of what we call the integration framework.
Well, interesting. Fortunately, we are at the end of our hour. I want to thank Neil, John, and David for sharing your expertise and insights on the SID and information framework. We at Open Systems Media, IBM, and the TM Forum also want to thank all of you, the audience, for attending today and contributing excellent questions remotely. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours. Note that an audio-only podcast will also be made available there. You can do a web search with the keywords embedded, space, e-cast, and find all of Open Systems Media eCasts available for download as MP3s. Thank you for attending, and have a great day.